From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you, bless you. This is the end of the meeting, it's the beginning of the movement. Thank Woo! You.
Yeah. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks, don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
From the sun, white sand beaches, palm trees, surf, and pina coladas in the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida, on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico.
Got the sun on my shoulders and my toes in the sand, just dreaming, stitching.
This is the radio program Spectrum 364, Monday the 6th of June, 2016.
You have an incoming transmission.
Welcome. I'm your Spectrum 360 host, Mark Skogman.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
And greetings to our listeners in Tampa Bay, Florida, and the United States. I'm associate producer and co-host, Terry Weeks.
Spectrum 360 is copyright 2016 by Mark Skogman. Copying and sharing the Spectrum 360 podcast for personal use is authorized and encouraged. So do it, please. Please. On Spectrum 360 in this edition for Monday, the 6th of June, 2016. Focus of this program is politics and maybe a little bit of film coverage, if we have time. Segment 1, live in studio. Future events calendar and the news summary from the last week. So much has happened, as usual. We'll remember briefly a couple of historical events on this week in history, and then we'll remember in the news summary recent events such as the death of Muhammad Ali, the Green Party state meeting for Florida, and then the upcoming election watch party tomorrow. And also the Greater Pinellas Democratic Club and anything else we can think of to talk about in that segment. It's kind of a catch-all, this week in history, news summary, and a future events calendar. Lots of stuff there. I'm going to keep you informed. That's what this whole program is for, right? Say right.
Right.
I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to the listeners. Even though I can't hear them, I wanted them to say right. This is an interactive program. Okay, then segment two, live by telephone, an interview with Michael Fox, Florida State Director for Progressive Democrats of America, and a Bernie Sanders campaign organizer extraordinaire. We'll speak with him on the primary elections and the Bernie Sanders campaign, the current status of both. Remember, tomorrow there are six primary elections in the states of New Jersey, North Dakota, South Dakota, New Mexico, Montana, and California. If you're a registered voter in these states, go out and vote. So we'll cover all that in that segment. And there's been recent breaking news tonight about the primary election in the Democratic Party for the U.S. presidential nomination between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. So we'll talk about that in that segment as well. Interesting. And then segment three, recorded the weekly Jim Hightower commentary for this edition of Spectrum 360. This week's commentary is on the subject of Bill Clinton. Interesting. Yeah. And then segment four, live in studio, Spectrum 360 Remembrance of Muhammad Ali, led by Terry Weeks. Peter Blake, host of the Sports Web on the Tantalk Radio Network, will join us for this segment. That'll be fun. Peter's kind of a wild guest. And, he's mugging in the background. You may not see him on the radio, but I guarantee he's mugging next to the control room. Oh, he's going to have some breaking news for us, too. All right. This is a breaking news night. That's great. And then segment five, the audio of a video by Anonymous about the state of Florida Governor Rick Scott. That'll be interesting. That's approximately 3 minutes. We're going to play that without a lot of commentary. They can speak for themselves. So that's interesting. And if we have time, we'll get to the film preview audio of the new documentary film, Vaxxed, about vaccinations. Has important new information. There's a lot of information, a lot of activity going on regarding vaccinations and health. And a very interesting subject. A lot of misinformation, a lot of information. And we'll see if we can clarify in the next few programs what's happening with that. And then anything else we can cram in after that on this program. Remember to like Spectrum 360 on Facebook at Spectrum 360 Radio Program. Also remember the Spectrum 360 Podcast. Go to www.internetradiopros.com. Scroll down to the Spectrum 360 link. Click on it. Choose the program date of your choice. Listen to Spectrum 360. That's cool. Let's get started with the first segment in just a moment.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to hightowerlowdown.org.
And this is a preview of the Jim Hightower commentary for this week. This is what he's talking about on this week's program.
I'll tell you which presidential candidate sends chills down my spine. And why? Hint, it's not Donald Trump. Hear about it today on Hightower's Radio Lowdown.
Tell me why you liked Roosevelt.
Oh, a man's friend.
That's why I liked Roosevelt.
Poor man's friend.
That's why I liked Roosevelt.
Poor man's friend.
Good God Almighty, he's the poor man's friend. 'Cause in the year of 1932, we had no idea just what we would do.
And this is segment one for this week's Spectrum 360. And this is the This Week in History news summary and future events calendar segment of the program. We're probably going to be doing this for segment one or segment two on most programs from now on, starting tonight. So the first thing I want to remind everyone is today, this is 6 June. Well, back in 1944 on 6 June, which was a Tuesday, it was Tuesday, 6 June 1944, that was D-Day. That was during World War II in the European theater when the Allied forces invaded France and started the Western Front in the European theater and started the beginning of the end of World War II. They invaded across the Channel. There were more than 5,000 ships in the English Channel for that invasion. It was a huge undertaking, and it was successful. Thousands of soldiers died on this day in the early morning hours of 6 June 1944. We want to remember all the thousands of casualties on that day, dead and wounded. They died for the freedom of the free world and for the Axis powers themselves, because they were conquered and turned into democracies. Imagine that. That was one successful war. The war is terrible. And also another terrible thing happened on this date in 1968, 6 June 1968, and that was 48 years ago, was the death of Robert Kennedy after he was assassinated. He was shot on 5 June, died on 6 June 1968, 48 years ago today. Last year's Spectrum 360, we did an extensive segment on his death, just to remind everyone of what happened on this date. So those are two historical events I wanted to remind you of. And also, from this last week, it's been a pretty busy news week. On Friday evening, Muhammad Ali died, the boxer and the man. And we'll speak about him in segment 4 extensively with myself. Co-host Terry Weeks will lead that segment, and Peter Blake, host of the Sports Web on 10 Talk Radio Network, will also join us for that segment. So enough said about that for now. Also, over this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the Green Party of Florida had their state meeting. We tried to do some coverage of that meeting live and get there in person, but it just wasn't possible this weekend. We did try. I was able to get over into Tampa yesterday. I was going to try to meet with some Green Party people after that event ended, when they were going to have their after meeting, and we went to the restaurant where they were supposed to meet, and we found that there were no Green Party members there, and the restaurant wasn't even open, so we'll have to find out what happened there. But that happened over the weekend. We're hoping to have interviews from Green Party members over the next few weeks. The Green Party is interesting, and they did have a state meeting, so I wanted to cover that, and we will cover that in future programs more in depth. So that's what happened over the last few weeks. Of course, today also, well, starting yesterday, we have Tropical Storm Colin that's happening in the Gulf of Mexico. So that is also happening. It's bringing heavy rain and high winds periodically to most of the state of Florida, especially the West Coast here in the Tampa Bay area and in the city of Clearwater, Florida, where we broadcast this program from. Also in the city of St. Peter's, where the program is produced from. We're experiencing a lot of heavy rains and high winds periodically through the day starting yesterday. And that will continue into tomorrow with about a 70% chance of rain. And then on Wednesday, the weather in this area and in the state of Florida should return to a more normal summer pattern with about 40% chance of rain in the Tampa Bay area. But for the rest of tonight and most of tomorrow, it's going to be a tropical storm and tropical storm warning. So remember that, folks. Stay safe out there. Don't drive in standing water. Retreat from floodwaters. Be careful. Use common sense. Drive carefully. And don't do anything stupid. Okay? Want all our Spectrum 360 listeners to be safe. And Terry, do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, just want to send my regards to the folks down in Gulfport who got a lot of flooding today and some power outages. And I hear they got the canoes out again on Bayshore Boulevard in Tampa, which is pretty much flooding every time there's a big storm now. Other than that, not a lot of major things going on with Colin, but everybody stay dry.
Yes, definitely want everyone to stay dry and safe, and seek shelter if you're in a structure that doesn't have a lot of structural strength, such as a mobile home. If you start experiencing high winds and they're starting to be damaged, use your prudence and seek other alternative shelter if necessary. Okay, and then upcoming, this coming week, tomorrow, there's going to be elections, primary elections, in 6 states, including the state of California, which has a lot of delegates. And there's going to be a watch party tomorrow, that's 7 June 2016, Tuesday, at the Amsterdam on Central Avenue in St. Petersburg. Michael Fox is going to be heading that event. He's going to be the interview subject on the next segment, and we're going to have special guests, two candidates for elected office at the federal level, Tim Canova, who's a candidate for U.S. House of Representatives from the state of Florida, and then also Alan Grayson, who's a current U.S. representative and is a candidate for U.S. Senate from the state of Florida. They will both be calling in tomorrow evening via Skype, and we will have conversations with them as we watch the election returns coming in from all these states. Remember, those states are going to be New Jersey, North Dakota, South Dakota, New Mexico, Montana, and California. So that's going to be interesting. That's all happening tomorrow. And, of course, this Thursday is the meeting, monthly meeting of the Greater Pinellas Democratic Club, and the speaker for that meeting is going to be Daryl Roussan, who has been a state representative in the state of Florida, I believe multiple terms. Isn't that correct, Terry?
Yeah, I believe he's termed out now, and is he running for Senate? I'm not sure if he's running for another office or not.
Yes, he is running for office right now. I believe he's running for state Senate.
Yeah, I think that's right. He has been representing District 70 in the House.
Yes, so that'll be very interesting. He's a pretty interesting person, interesting speaker. I've met him multiple times, both in the Tampa Bay area and in Tallahassee. One time, I remember, he gave us a tour of the legislative chambers up there. It was very gracious and very nice, and I thank him for that. That was a couple of years ago. And so that was wonderful. He's going to be speaking at the Greater Pinellas Democratic Club meeting on Thursday. And, of course, there's a lot of other things happening, just more than we can even cover on just 1 hour a week in this program. So that's segment one. Let's go to segment two in just a second. But first, we absolutely have to play the proper theme music so that we can introduce Michael Fox. I love doing that. It's our traditional music to introduce a segment with Michael Fox, who's the Florida State Director of Progressive Democrats of America for the state of Florida, obviously, and a Bernie Sanders campaign organizer extraordinaire, the man when it comes to phone banking, that's for sure. Michael, are you there?
I am here. Son of Sanders is president accounted for, sir. Thanks so much for the intro.
Great. You're welcome. And the call quality is excellent, so we're doing well. I know the previous program, Revolutionary Road, they had considerable trouble with their telephones. And that can happen when you're using cellular telephones and then appearing on a radio program. But we usually have less problem than they do with it. So that's great. We're fortunate in that regard. So let's get right to it. What was interesting to me is in the 8 p.m. hour just today, this evening, and we're talking about Monday, 6 June 2016, the Associated Press went public and declared Hillary Clinton as the presumptive nominee for U.S. presidency in the Democratic Party primary elections. Of course, this is before we have six elections tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that was interesting news. I immediately went on Twitter and Facebook and basically stated what I just stated, and then said, what about the primary elections? And then tweeted and Facebooked that out almost immediately once I heard that news. So that was interesting. Now, Michael, I'd like you to address that controversy, and then we'll talk about the elections tomorrow and beyond. So what's your reaction to this news tonight from the Associated Press that Hillary Clinton is the presumptive nominee? And I want to emphasize the word presumptive because I think that's where all the controversy is coalescing. It's around, it involves that word presumptive, correct?
Yeah, well, and thank you so much for bringing this up. And we could do an hour on what's wrong with the media using this as the case study right here.
Here's a comment I have on that.
Oh, yes.
There's one thing I hate. All the noise.
I mean, that's what it sounds like sometimes, doesn't it?
Whatever happened to the day when the major media, especially the AP. Now, I'll readily recognize that media has evolved over time.
Yes.
And there is more more editorial content, quite frankly, than there was, say, in the 40s and the 50s. Newspapers were famous for taking very, very pointed stances, most definitely on their editorial pages. But the rest of the newspaper was just news.
Well, there was also the fairness doctrine as well.
Bingo.
Which we don't have anymore.
Yeah, and what are we looking at now? Number one, how is that a news story? Number one, okay, she's the presumptive. How have we determined she's the presumptive nominee? We have polled some superdelegates who do not vote until the 29th of July.
Correct.
Who have already shown a history of flipping during that exact period between the end of a primary sequence and the convention itself. So it's, and like you said, the key word there is presumptive. But that's what I find so disingenuous about this process. Nobody is reading it as, and you see it in the Bernie response and the Hillary responses, nobody's reading it as presumptive. They're reading it as it's over.
Well, you know, mm-hmm. the Clinton campaign announced tonight, a short time after the AP declared that on the wire services, and then the cable news program started to pick that up and announce that they weren't necessarily comfortable with, right before a primary election date that has six dates voting, saying that they were the presumptive nominee. I heard one statement from the Clinton campaign that they were actually a little bit uncomfortable with that.
Oh, I can hear that, bro. And think of it for a second, because as a Bernie supporter, of course, my immediate response is, yep, there you go, the corporate media beating up Bernie's get-out-the-vote efforts, right? But
yes.
Just in the last half hour, it's really started becoming salient to me that if you got two groups of people, one of whom are known for their passion, waiting in lines for hours to show up at overpacked stadiums with 30,000 people in them, versus a, oh yeah, she's our candidate, which has always been Hillary's challenge.
Who's going to show up no matter what?
Bingo. Who's going to show up no matter what? So this actually could be a boon to Bernie. So, you know, bottom line, my immediate response as a Bernie supporter was to take it personally as a Bernie supporter, when in reality, I've pulled back a little bit and just seen it as now, this is just a condemnation of the media in general, where they are not taking their job seriously. They're trying to manufacture news and conflict whenever they can. They're putting out information that, even though they'll go back and say the word presumptive, and somebody with as fine an eye for detail as you have, Mark, you nail that. Average person reading that just reads it as, oh, this is over. And that is, they are totally ignoring their responsibility as journalists. And that's why Spectrum 360 exists.
Well, thank you so much for that compliment. And I do want to emphasize the word presumptive. And you have to look at that phrase. It's two words, presumptive nominee. But most people tend to glaze over and just concentrate on the last word, which is nominee. But like I said previously in this program, the entire controversy is with what the definition of presumptive is. And presumptive really just means it looks like this is the probable nominee. So let's substitute that word probable, because that's another way to say presumptive. And what probable means is this is what some people think will probably happen, but it hasn't happened yet. And
Bingo.
It's not going to happen
so
until the convention.
It news? It's not news at all. At all.
So why are they announcing it?
Bingo.
Well, it's because of the caucuses that happened over the weekend, and that was the one of them. Well, let me get the list here so I can tell you exactly what it was. Saturday, 4 June, was the Virgin Islands caucus, and that was Democrats only. And then Sunday, 5 June, just yesterday, that was the Puerto Rico caucus, also Democrats only, although they're open primaries those two territories. They're not even states. They're U.S. territories. And, of course, tomorrow we have states voting. We've got New Jersey, North Dakota, South Dakota, New Mexico, Montana, and the big enchilada, California.
Which is where Bernie will knock it out of the park.
Or as Arnold Schwarzenegger says, California.
California. Precisely.
I love
but
that.
Just bottom line, I think, to wrap that whole concept, you've nailed it. The problem there
Thank
is
you.
With the word presumptive.
Thank you.
Number one,
yes.
Folks aren't reading that, and so they're thinking, oh, gee, this is over. Then number two, why should you even announce that? You know, that's where it starts becoming election manipulation and influence.
Indeed.
Versus the news story is superdelegates don't vote until July 29th.
Yes.
Period. That is the news story.
And I want to jump in here.
The news story is we've got elections tomorrow.
Yes, and I want to jump in here real quickly and read this notification, full disclosure. The Spectrum 360 editorial committee has endorsed Bernie Sanders for President of the United States, and some members of the Spectrum 360 staff are actively supporting and volunteering with the Bernie Sanders campaign. We want to disclose that in each and every program where we discuss the campaign, and that's been just about every program since we started covering the elections. And I want to say that these points I'm making about the presumptive nominee phrase, I would make these same points if I was a Clinton supporter as well.
Yes. Yes.
So I want to make that point, that this is not a partisan viewpoint that I've got. I would take the same position no matter who the nominee was. It ain't over till it's over, to quote Yogi Berra.
Amen.
The other thing
if I were a registered Republican, my head would have exploded when they announced Trump was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have a convention or don't you?
Yeah. I understand.
Well, the other thing that this is doing, possibly, by announcing that it's, you know, getting people to think that it's all wrapped up, it's hurting the down ballot races. Are there other races in some of these states besides presidential?
Good
point. The Democrats may say, "Oh, I'm not going to vote." They're hurting all those down ballot Democrats too.
Yep. Yep. That's the nailing of the head right there. It's about voter suppression in the long run. Now, do I think that the AP is purposefully suppressing votes? I can't say that I can go there necessarily, but at the very, I do know that other media outlets will, major networks, et cetera, and so forth, more than happy to have voters suppressed because of their corporate connections, et cetera, et cetera. But at the very least, you would hope that the AP would always be concerned. Is what we're saying suppressing vote? You know, you would hope that they would that would be a litmus test for anything that they sent out.
Well, there's journalistic competitiveness involved where you want to be the first to announce something. So that's a factor in when the media times these kind of announcements. So they wanted to be the first to be able to say with some authority that it was presumptive, because it's been kind of presumption after presumption up to this point. But now they can say actual presumption. And you know, they wanted to be the first to do that because there is journalistic competitiveness involved in that. But we have to temper that with the fact that we need to focus on what the actual definition of that word is and realize that the process is not over till the end of the convention. And there's a lot of things, especially in an election year like this, that's so volatile and so changeable. And we have these, you know, we have these two major campaigns that are still actually campaigning for the Democratic nomination. It ain't over till it's over. There's going to be so much that's going to happen in Philadelphia during the DNC. And who knows what's going to happen on the Republican side, too. I mean, I've got information this evening. It's going to be absolutely wild in Cleveland. What I heard tonight, I believe Terry Weeks saw information that there was something on the order of 20,000 pro-Trump supporters that want to bring their assault weapons to Cleveland. And then there's going to be these large numbers of anti-Trump demonstrators.
And our old friends at Westboro Baptist Church are going to be there. They've applied for a couple of permits.
Yeah, that could really be a seriously dangerous situation.
Yeah, and that's something that I've seen percolating with some of my friends in the Occupy movement, et cetera. Our good friend Amos Mears, who is a Bernie delegate, but who cut his teeth in the Occupy movement, et cetera. There are reasons to really think hard about how you're planning on protesting against the RNC.
Yeah.
You know, there is serious danger involved there. And I'm hoping that the activists, number one, have their backs covered like nobody's business, but number two, realize that nose to nose is probably not the way they want to go there, and they need to just focus on, look at all these people with weapons. Isn't that nuts? And I'm praying that there isn't a nose-to-nose moment there.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want the RNC in Cleveland in 2016 to be called the Full Metal Jacket Convention. I don't want that. That's not. We don't need that. There was enough of that in the last century.
To be a Democrat in that regard, and just bottom line is the. And so, of course, you know that what's going to be at the front of the news after tomorrow. Hillary will not have enough committed delegates. Bernie will not have enough committed delegates. That's what will happen at the end of the day. And so it will then be the election then flips to all of those superdelegates.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It is a superdelegate determination.
It seems like, you know, there are more and more things coming out that are troubling about Hillary. I just saw something today about how the State Department is not going to release her emails regarding the TPP until after the election.
After the election. How about that?
Oh, my gosh.
As a board member of the Democratic Party of Pinellas County and as a Bernie delegate, I am ashamed of my president.
I am too.
Yeah, that's not really acceptable, especially with something as important as the TPP and as far-reaching as that's going to
and
be.
And I think Trump's going to jump all over it.
Yeah, and playing politics with with transparency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just be transparent. Period. And that's the problem, and I would submit probably, my brother and sister on the phone line with me here would probably concur, one of the reasons why I'm actively involved in the Democratic Party is because I want to see it as a champion of transparency.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's totally self-serving. Well, it's not totally. Number one, it's just a good concept.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
But number two, it's totally self-serving. Independence, and that goes with the convention, the contested convention as well. Independence love transparency, and they also love a process where it looks like folks are knocking ideas around, and no, we don't have presumptive nominees.
Yes.
You know, it's just in our best interest to always err on the side of transparency. It'll get us votes.
Yes, and inclusiveness. And especially this year, this is so important with the Sanders campaign, because I've been very involved in the Sanders campaign, as you know, and so have you, and Terry has been to some extent as well. And we've, you know, declared a support for the Sanders candidacy on this program. That's our endorsement for this for the primary election. And we've gotten very familiar with the supporters of Bernie Sanders, and some of them, there will be a percentage that just will not vote for Hillary Clinton under any circumstances, but there's going to be a large amount of independents, and then pretty liberal Democrats that are going to they're going to be uncertain about what they want to do. I would encourage them, of course, to consider one other candidacy in this election cycle, and the initials of that person are DT, and it's the candidacy of Donald Trump. And I mean, it is, his candidacy is so incredibly bad now. It's getting just bizarre how bad this is. But we can't count on the fact that he's going to self-destruct. He's a very dangerous candidate for this country, and we've got to make sure that he gets defeated. That is the highest priority for this election cycle. Even Republicans think that, you know.
Yeah. They don't want to see the R go down in flames. Well, you see it happening right now. That was part of Citizens United, where
yes,
there were people who, not necessarily good, quote-unquote, good Republicans,
mm-hmm,
who were vested in the Republican Party and wanted to see the Republican Party grow, but people who want power, who pushed through Citizens United so that you would have these other entities besides the party that could raise incredible amounts of money. That was a defection from the party. So I always go back to my Republican brothers and sisters. If your father was a Republican, if your mother was a Republican, if your grandparents were Republicans, if your great-grandparents were Republicans, it's time for you to stand up and take your party back as well.
Absolutely.
Well, that's correct. And, you know, there's a lot of people, and this has been said by many people, not just me, that, you know, a large percentage of what is in the Democratic Party today is what they... what Republican Party used to be when Hillary Clinton was a Goldwater girl.
Yep.
And
take a look at the 1956 Republican Party platform.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to WikiLeaks.
Yes.
It's all about labor. It's about equal rights. There's a little bit, there's still that conservative Christian element to it. There is that. That was still a part of it. The bottom line on most issues, it was centrist Democrat.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing to see that. And actually, Jim Hightower, in his Jim Hightower commentary just a few weeks ago, we covered that. And he was kind of very coy about it. He said, you know, I'm reading this information, and isn't this great? And it's from a major party. Then he said, this is the Republican Party platform. of 1956.
Yep.
And I went, wow, has that been a change?
If there's any historic, any history lesson that we can teach, especially your, well, it should, pardon my French, it should piss off all your old folks with white in their beard like me, and then young folks need to know that. They desperately need to know that.
Yes.
But there was a time, you know, just like when there was a time when a single person, unfortunately in those days, it was probably the dad in the family, and in today's world we would say it could be the mom. Bottom line, there was a time when a single blue-collar wage could get you a house and cars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There was a time, and we can have it again.
Yes, yes,
but
that's
true. But we can't
true.
if we're electing corporatists.
Exactly. And one last point I want to make is that it's interesting to note that over this weekend, as bad as Donald Trump and his campaign have conducted themselves, they don't seem to be able to transition and adapt to actually being competent to running a general election campaign. And that is one hope that we have. But we can't rely on the fact that they're going to self-destruct. You can't rely on that. You can't have that as the fail-safe mechanism for this election. We have to organize, and with Republicans of like mind, to just stop this the Trump candidacy for the good of the country. And then we can, you know, have our controversies and fight about who's going to, you know, who's going to be the president, as long as he's not going to be it. And it very well may be Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. We don't know yet. But we absolutely have to stop the Trump candidacy. And that's my appeal to those independent and very liberal Democratic voters that are not certain that they're going to vote for Hillary if she becomes the nominee. We do just remember that the highest priority is stopping Donald Trump. Now, you can interpret that any way that you want other than that, but I'm saying that's the bottom line for this election. And when it, you know, there's a lot of talk about, oh, in elections you have to, you know, vote strategically and you have to stop the evil. Well, this is one of those elections I would submit to you, and it's very important. You know, I thought George W. Bush was probably the worst president, post-war president, certainly the worst president of my lifetime, and this has the potential for being astronomically worse, and I just can't believe hard to believe that I'm even living through this, but that's the that's the reality here. Michael, we're coming to the end of this segment. Any final comments that you want our listeners to know?
On what you just said, and that is, the Bernie or bust folks, to my Bernie or bust brothers and sisters, always remember, you don't have to cast your ballot. Number one, I think Bernie's going to be our candidate, and I will fight for that. But let's say, if Hillary were our candidate, you do not have to cast your ballot for Hillary Clinton to beat Donald Trump. But you can't be lazy about this. That's the key. You can still take votes off of Trump, even if you cannot, and I respect that. I respect someone ethically saying, I cannot cast my ballot for Hillary Clinton. Fine. If you cannot cast your ballot, then I simply ask, then be very active in ensuring that everyone knows who Donald Trump is.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, vote for Bernie, vote for the Democratic nominee, vote for the Green Party nominee, vote for the Libertarian nominee, anybody but Trump.
And get out there. There's going to be an awful lot of issue-related activity on the ground, educating voters. And you'll have plenty of opportunities to punch Donald Trump in his head metaphorically via that kind of work.
Paper mache puppets on the street.
Amen,
who would do that?
A lot of people, actually. A lot of good street theater people, political street theater. That there's going to be a lot of wild stuff on there in the street that's going to be really fun, and I'm hoping to be there and catch it all on video, every last moment that I can. All right, that's Michael Fox. He's the Florida State Director for Progressive Democrats of America and a Bernie Sanders campaign organizer extraordinaire. Thank you for once again appearing on Spectrum 360 and being just a great analyst during the entire, almost the entire Spectrum 360 coverage of the primary election phase here. Thank you so much once again, Michael Fox.
All good. Thank you, brothers and sisters. See you.
Thank you. Okay, here's the Jim Hightower commentary for this week.
What's past, as Shakespeare told us, is prologue. So let's flash back only two decades to that defining achievement of President Bill Clinton's presidency. Quote, the end of welfare as we know it. he was awfully proud of teaming up with Republican ideologues to reverse FDR's historic commitment of providing aid to families with dependent children. While there were problems and abuses with this poverty alleviation program, Clinton signed on to the right-wing's fantasy that simply gutting it would magically make welfare recipients self-sufficient through, quote, the dignity, the power, and the ethic of work. But his faith in the work ethic lacked any actual ethics. Where were the jobs, much less decent-paying jobs, that were supposed to empower poor people? Bill had no plans for that, except a feeble request that major corporations commit to hiring a number of former welfare recipients. Surprise, they didn't. Now, fast forward 20 years, with millions of poor people, especially single mothers, having no jobs, no cash earnings, and no social safety net to protect them. Clinton's empty promise of jobs for the poor totally disappeared in the smoke of Wall Street's 2008 crash of our economy. Plus, he had handed the remains of our national poverty program over to states that are now run by right-wing politicos who've shriveled the benefits to Dickensian levels. Thus, the United States of America, the wealthiest country in the history of the world, now has a poverty program that largely consists of the poor being homeless, selling their blood plasma for income, and scrounging our alleys and highway medians for aluminum cans. This is Jim Hightower saying, but now Hillary Clinton says she would put Bill in charge of fixing our economy. Hello? He fixes our economy the same way a veterinarian fixes your dog.
If you'd like more of Jim Hightower's real populism, check out the Hightower Lowdown. Jim's monthly newsletter gives you the real lowdown on which corporations, by name, are doing what to the middle class, our environment, and our democracy. Each month, the Hightower Lowdown brings you facts you didn't know, along with actions you can take to fight back. It also comes with a sense of humor. Hightower believes we can fight the gods and still have fun. Plus, get this, it's cheap. Only $15 brings you 12 issues a year. For real populism, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
Hey everyone, guess who's coming back? It's Mama J Speaks and Mama K coming back on Thursdays, 8 to 9 p.m. We're going to be here to massage your hearts and minds with gallons of soul laughter. Tune in Thursdays, 8 to 9 p.m. on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tan Talk Radio Network.
And now on to segment four, this week's Spectrum 360, which is Monday, the 6th of June, 2016. And this is our segment on the death of the great boxer and great human being, Muhammad Ali. This segment is being led by Terry Weeks. She's written a great article about Muhammad Ali. We're going to start our discussion of Muhammad Ali with her reading this wonderful article that she wrote. Terry?
Muhammad Ali, the greatest fighter of all time, died last Friday after losing his final fight against Parkinson's disease. How do I know he was the greatest? Because he told us he was. He told us a lot of things, like, I'm so fast that last night I turned off the light switch in my hotel room and was in bed before the room was dark. I'm so mean I make medicine sick. I've wrestled with alligators, I've tussled with a whale, I've done handcuffed lightning and thrown thunder in jail. And of course, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, his hands can't hit what his eyes can't see. At the age of 18, Ali, then known as Cassius Clay, won the gold medal in the 1960 Olympics. When he returned home, he was denied service at a segregated Louisville restaurant. In those days, the few African-American sports heroes that existed were expected to stay quiet, to not rock the boat. Joe Louis spent his career saying as little as possible. Jackie Robinson was required to be what he called a patient black freak while silently enduring white men's abuse. No one had ever seen anything like Cassius Clay, a brash, cocky trash talker who refused to stay in the background. Many white people, and even some image-conscious blacks, hated him for flouting the rules of how Negroes were supposed to behave. But Cassius Clay refused to exist in the context white America created for him. In 1964, he joined the Nation of Islam, renounced what he called his slave name, and took the name of Muhammad Ali. Many still pointedly referred to him as Clay, including boxer Ernie Terrell. After Ali pummeled Terrell for 15 rounds, he then taunted him with, "What's my name? What's my name?" That was in February of 1967. The following month, he received a draft notice. The United States was calling up young men to fight in the Vietnam War. Because Ali was a famous boxer, he could have requested special treatment and had an easy time just entertaining the troops. But Ali's deep religious beliefs forbade killing, even in war, so he refused induction into the armed forces. He said, "My conscience won't let me go shoot my brother or some darker people or some poor hungry people in the mud for big, powerful America. And shoot them for what?" Ali told the Crusher reporters. "They never called me nigger. They never lynched me. They didn't put no dogs on me. They didn't rob me of my nationality, rape and kill my mother and father. Shoot them for what? How can I shoot them poor people? Just take me to jail." In June 1967, Muhammad Ali was tried and found guilty of draft evasion. Although he was fined and sentenced $10,000 and sentenced to 5 years in jail, he remained out on bail on appeal. However, in response to the public outrage, Muhammad Ali was banned from boxing and stripped of his heavyweight title. For 3.5 years, Muhammad Ali was exiled from professional boxing. He watched others claim the heavyweight title. His punishment came at the height of his career and cost him three of his best fighting years. I can think of few other professional athletes who have been willing to sacrifice so much for their principles. The media crucified him. They said Clay could have been the most popular of all champions, but he attached himself to a hate organization and antagonized everyone with his boasting and disdain for the decency of even low-grade patriotism. This fighter should not be patronized either in person or in the theater or in TV. Not a nickel. Ali was even condemned on the floor of Congress. He traveled the country, speaking out against what was increasingly acknowledged as an unjust war. Challenged on his position before an audience of mostly white college students, he did not back down. "If I'm going to die, I'm going to die right here fighting you. You, my enemy. My enemy is the white people, not Viet Cong or Chinese or Japanese. You, my opposer when I want freedom. You, my opposer when I want justice. You, my opposer when I want equality. You won't even stand up for me in America for my religious beliefs. You want me to go somewhere and fight, but you won't even stand up for me at home?" Ali never did go to prison. As his case proceeded on appeal, the Vietnam War became increasingly unpopular. What had in 1967 looked like a lack of patriotism started to look like courage. His boxing license was restored, and in 1971, the United States Supreme Court overturned his conviction on a technicality. The spectacular second half of Ali's career followed, including fights such as the Thriller in Manila against Joe Frazier and the Rumble in the Jungle against hard-hitting George Foreman. His career featured 56 victories, 37 by knockout, and 5 defeats. He retired, perhaps a few years too late, in 1981. But Ali wasn't just the greatest, he was good. He traveled into poor and forgotten corners of the world as a UN messenger of peace. He brought joy to sick children under the auspices of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. His good works in the last 3 decades of his life really defy summary. According to the ACLU, Ali had raised more money for charities than any other living person. But his years of fighting did take a toll on him. After suffering increasingly slurred speech, shaking hands, and overtiredness, Muhammad Ali was hospitalized in September 1984 to determine the cause. His doctors diagnosed him with Parkinson's disease, a degenerative condition that results in decreased control over speech and motor skills. But Ali didn't stop. In 1996, he lit the Olympic flame to begin the Summer Games in Atlanta. In the last decade of his life, he was showered with honors. Sports Illustrated named him Sportsman of the Century. The BBC called him Sports Personality of the Century. Amnesty International gave him its Lifetime Achievement Award, and the United Nations Secretary of General dubbed him United Nations Messenger for Peace. In 2005, he was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest honor given to a civilian. "He was the greatest man I ever knew," George Foreman said. "People say he was the greatest heavyweight, but I say that's a put-down. He was simply the greatest man, period." Boxer, fighter for justice, model of black pride, and man of peace, Muhammad Ali truly was the greatest. Rest in peace, champ.
Well said, Terry Weeks. Thank you for writing that article today. That was wonderful. And now we're also joined by Peter Blake, who is the host of the Sports Web on the Tantalk Radio Network. Peter.
Yeah, we call it the Tantalk Sports Network now. It's Saturday afternoons from 3 to 5 p.m. on Tantalk Sports Network.
There's been a name change for the program?
Name change, yes. That's according to the owner here, Lola. I can do that. So that's what we did.
Cool. So now I believe the slogan for the program is bring your nonsense, bring your stupidity, but don't bring any passion or excitement.
You know that's not true. It's actually bring your passion, bring your excitement, just don't bring any nonsense Saturday afternoons from 3 to 5.
Oh, well, I'm stupid, so I have to sometimes indulge in nonsense.
Of course you do. We actually got some breaking news tonight.
Oh, please.
MMA fighter fought for UFC Bellator, but really became famous for street fights on YouTube. Mr. Kimbo Slice passed away tonight from a heart attack.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
If you watched his last fight, seriously, he was not in good condition. Neither was the other gentleman that he fought. I think the guy's name was Duda 5000. He could have been 500,000. That fight was really bad. Should have never happened. Kimbo Slice tonight dead at, I believe, 42, but maybe he's a little bit older than that. But I think he was pretty young, and it's a shame because it's just it comes back to I think it's health-wise, and I think also maybe what they're going to find out is probably steroids.
I was just going to ask about that.
I mean, I just think these type of athletes, they get so big, and you have to perform at a certain level, and you want to continue to perform at that level, and you'll do anything to do that. And again, it's a speculation on my part, but I think eventually they're going to find out a lot of these guys are dying of heart attacks early in their life. It's because of steroids. So
interesting. And any brief comments you have about the death of Muhammad Ali?
Absolutely a pioneer. That was well put, well done. For a guy to stand up for his beliefs, first of all, and then be pushed out for 3.5 years. You can never see that with an athlete these days.
Interesting.
You can never see that with a Floyd Mayweather, who's just all about money. Yeah, he's undefeated. People will put him in that conversation of being one of the greatest of all time. And maybe record will say that. But at the end of the day, for an athlete in this generation to do what Muhammad Ali did at that time is unbelievable. And then to come back and still be the greatest, to me, that's Jordan-esque. You know, Michael Jordan walks away, he's retired. Muhammad Ali's forced out. Both of those guys have something in common. When they came back, they were still the greatest. So to me, you know, Muhammad Ali, not only one of the greatest boxers of all time, but you could probably say he's the greatest athlete of all time and a guy that really put sports and entertainment on the map. Him and Howard Cosell, that combination.
That was a show.
It was a show. And that's exactly what, that was the beginning of, and you don't see that anymore. You don't see that type of chemistry between Cosell, and Cosell really helped him out in so many ways. And Muhammad Ali helped out Cosell in so many ways because, you know, Cosell was kind of this guy that had this great lingo and I'm going to tell it like it is and smoke cigars and wear these fur coats. I look up to this gentleman. And Muhammad Ali, kind of in the same way, but kind of in a different bravado, and it worked so well, and they helped each other out so much. And I just wish, hosting a sports talk show on Saturday afternoons, that I had an opportunity to witness that kind of thing going on. It was just special, and you can witness it on YouTube, but to see it firsthand, it would have been unbelievable for me because today boxing is just, it's not the same, and the media is not the same. It's just, nothing is the same anymore. It's just, it's all produced and just over publicized, and it's a shame.
Okay, well, Peter Blake, thank you for those comments, and it was interesting talking to you on your sports talk program on Saturday about boxing, and I think boxing is actually the first human sport. I think it even predates probably foot racing as a human sport. I think when human culture started, human civilization started, I think the first contests we had, sports contests, were probably boxing and wrestling.
Boxing/wrestling
before we even had foot races or anything else.
And it's funny you should say wrestling because actually Muhammad Ali's personality, he developed this personality from Gorgeous George, who was a wrestler.
Right. Yes.
I believe in the 50s or 60s. So it's crazy how all these sports kind of intertwine now. But the sad thing about boxing today is that the promoters and all the corruption and everything like that has kind of ruined what was a great sport in the 60s and 70s. And you know what? In order to make boxing relevant again, I think you're going to have to put it on network TV, and I just don't think it's going to happen.
Interesting. Well, thanks once again, Peter Blake. Now, tell me the new name of the program once again.
It's the Sports Web on the Tantalk Sports Network. Bring your passion, bring your excitement, just don't bring any nonsense. 3 to 5 on Saturday afternoons.
Wow.
On the Tantalk Sports Network. I'm your host, Peter Blake, giving you something to think about.
And there's going to be more video coming from Peter as well. He's gotten some new equipment. He's going to be expanding into more video for his sports coverage.
Tantalk Sports Network, it's kind of funny, Mark. They don't have a TV department. They don't have a TV host. But I bet if I got, a press pass and maybe started to interview some athletes with my new camera, maybe that could become a job in itself.
Maybe. Hope so. We're looking forward to good things from Peter Blake. Okay, that basically does it for Spectrum 360 for this week. We're going to play that that audio of that video from Anonymous regarding Rick Scott on next week's program. We went a little bit long with this last segment here, but that will keep just fine until next week's program. So we'll do that next week. And I appreciate
it's always a good time to abuse Rick Scott.
I agree with that.
Oh, boy. More editing I'm going to have to do in this program.
Guy is so plain and boring. He's so easy to make fun of.
Oh, yes. I'm afraid that is absolutely true. All right. Well, that's great. That wraps a Spectrum 360 for this week. That was Monday, the 6th of June, 2016. We will have more Spectrum 360 for you next week, and we'll talk about the People's Summit. A lot of things coming up in coming weeks over the summer. Thank you for listening.
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.